Thanks for popping into Diving into Deep Waters. I'm Erin Rowling, and I'm super honored to dive in with you today. The water might be a little shocking at first, but hopefully you will feel refreshed and strengthened in your faith as we dive deep. All right, thanks for coming today. It's super hot outside, and so I actually turned off the air conditioner in my room because it's very loud. So hopefully I don't sweat to death in here. Get those toxins out, I guess. But so I got to share this with you because this was really funny. I recently asked Abby, my youngest, if she wanted to do a segment on my podcast, and I've been talking to Kara about it. We've made up a little slide for it and just thought it'd be fun to do with her one day. And so I asked her if she wanted to be on it, and of course she replied yes. And so I said, hey, what would you want to talk about with me on my podcast? And, you know, what do people need to know? And so after thinking for a few seconds, she was like, don't do weed. And I was like, what? And she's like, yeah, don't do weed because that's not good for you. I was like, okay, well, what else would you say? And she was like, love God because he's great. And then the next one was don't twerk. Well, you can twerk a little bit because sometimes you have to twerk when you're dancing. And then she proceeded to get up and show me what a little twerking was. And she was like, sometimes you just need to do it a little bit, Mom. And I was like, well, honey, people can't see what a little bit is. And she was like, oh, she's like, then just don't twerk. So let's just say when we do this podcast with Abby, it could be very interesting. You never know what we could learn. So anyways, I just thought that was kind of funny. A little insight into my youngest child. Let's get into today's topic. Sometimes I feel like I just like, I sigh because some topics are just not as easy as other ones. And as I was preparing for it, I was like, oh, there's nothing really fuzzy or warm about this. And as I was looking into the scriptures, I was like, oh, is there another topic that I could do? Because I can write down different topics. And there's not. So I felt like I'm supposed to dive into this topic. And the you already know the name of it. But it's forgiving others. And some of you are already groaning and sighing. And maybe you're pushing pause. Or taking your earbuds out. Or looking for a more uplifting podcast. Like, not today. This is not what I'm going to listen to today. If that's you, then actually probably the person who needs to be here. And so I'm just going to ask you to give it a chance. Like, don't turn me off yet. Don't tune me out yet. But just let God speak to your heart. Because sometimes these tougher subjects are ones that we need to hear. They're important, and just listen to what God's put on my heart. And I hope by the end of it, you'll be like, I'm glad I listened to that. So hopefully you won't regret it. So I was saying, I was looking into scriptures on this topic about forgiving others, and I just couldn't seem to find any that had a clause or a but. And actually, the word of God is pretty straightforward on this topic. There are no ands, ifs, or buts. I mean, like when you read a scripture like Matthew 6, 14 through 15, it says, for if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive you your sins. I mean, like, it doesn't really get more straightforward than that. Basically, the gist of the verse is, if you forgive, God will forgive you. If you don't forgive, God won't forgive you. Like, there's no, like, loopholes here. See what I mean? It's not, like, warm and fuzzy. It's pretty straightforward. And this is not, like, a scripture that you see, like, in your Instagram feed, you know, like, with, like, a beautiful sunset behind it, or a flower, a field of flowers. I mean, because it's straightforward. I actually even looked for different verses to see if I could find something a little less straightforward. And, you know, well, what I found was Ephesians 4, 31 through 32. Get rid of bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. Mark 11, 25. And whenever you stand praying, forgive if you have anything against anyone, so that your Father also, who is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. Or Colossians 3, 13, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. Okay, we can't get around it. It's there in black and white. It's straightforward. You forgive, God forgives you. You don't forgive, God doesn't forgive you. So I tried, people. I tried to give you a pass. But this is the fact. If we believe the word of God, then we need to follow what it says and forgive. Like, that seems so simple to say, right? But it's not simple at all. So maybe you're wrestling with this topic, and maybe you're already like, okay, I decided I would hang in there for a few minutes, but I'm going to turn you off now. But listen, you're in good company, because I've also struggled with this topic. Like, obviously I have, because I tried to find a different verse for you, and that just didn't happen. And honestly, in the line of work that me and my husband are in, we have heard the most awful stories. And then when I think, sometimes I'll say to Paul, like, I've never heard something so awful. We'll meet with someone else, and their story will be more awful, if you could even imagine, like, being more awful than an awful story. And, you know, the things we've heard are unimaginable and horrific. And at times, like, as someone's speaking, I just want to cover my ears, not because of them, but just because, like, I can't handle it. Like, the things that they're telling me sometimes are just so awful. And I can't even wrap my brain around someone hurting someone in that way, or that anyone enduring those kind of experiences. And what's crazy to me, like, literally crazy to me, is that when, after sharing their story, so many times they share how God helped them forgive. And it's not like they're just saying it with their mouth. They're not just saying, I forgive. No, it's like, I can see it. I can hear it in their words. And, like, the state of their heart is they have forgiven that person that has harmed them in such a horrific way. And that whole thing of idea of forgiveness takes me right back to a story from Corey Ten Boom, who my husband had shared this story in church years ago. And Corey Ten Boom is actually someone that I have idolized, like, since I was a little girl. My mom used to read us books of different people, like heroes in the faith. She is hands down a hero in the faith. And I used to listen to her on cassette tape. Yes, cassette tape. And I actually had the privilege of hearing her speak in person, which was like one of the highlights of my life. Just being in her presence was just amazing. And maybe you've heard of her name before, or if maybe you've heard of the movie The Hiding Place. That was a movie based on her life. And I really felt to read a story to you in her words. I could just tell you the story, but I actually went back just to kind of refresh myself on the story. And I just really felt like to read in her words her experience with forgiving someone. And I just believe it'll have the most impact by me reading it. So here goes. The title is Corrie ten Boom's Story on Forgiving. It was in a church in Munich that I saw him. A balding, heavyset man in a gray overcoat, a brown felt hat clutched between his hands, and people were filing out of the basement room where I had just spoken, moving along the rows of wooden chairs to the door at the rear. It was 1947, and I had come from Holland to defeat to Germany with the message that God forgives. It was the truth they needed most to hear in that bitter, bombed-out land, and I gave them my favorite mental picture. Maybe because the sea is never far from a Hollander's mind, I like to think that that's where forgiven sins were thrown. When we confess our sins, I say God cast them into the deepest ocean, gone forever. The solemn faces stared back at me, not quite daring to believe. There were never questions after a talk in Germany in 1947. People stood up in silence collected their wraps, and then in silence left the room. And that's when I saw him, working his way forward against the others. One moment, I saw the overcoat and the brown hat. The next, a blue uniform with a visored cap with the skull and crossbones. It came back with a rush. The huge room with its harsh overhead lights, the pathetic pile of dresses and shoes in the center of the room, the shame of walking naked past this man. I could see my sister's frail form ahead of me, ribs sharp beneath the parchment skin. Betsy, how thin you were. Betsy and I had been arrested for concealing Jews in our home during the Nazi occupation of Holland. And this man had been a guard at Ravensbrück concentration camp where we were sent. Now he was in front of me, hand thrust out. A fine message, Fräulein. How good it is to know that, as you say, all our sins are in the bottom of the sea. And I, who had spoken so glibly of forgiveness, fumbled into my pocketbook rather than to take the hand. He would not remember me, of course. How could he remember one prisoner among those thousands of women? But I remembered him, and the leather crop swinging from his belt. I was face to face with one of my captors, and my blood seemed to freeze. You mentioned Ravensbrück in your talk, he was saying. I was a guard there. No, he didn't remember me. But since that last time, he went on, I have become a Christian, and I know that God has forgiven me for the cruel things I did there. But I would like to hear it from your lips as well, Fräulein. Again, the hand came out. Will you forgive me? And I stood there, I whose sin had again and again been forgiven and could not forgive. Betsy had died in that place. Could he erase her slow, terrible death simply for the asking? I could not have been more than seconds that he stood there, hand held out, but to me, it seemed like hours as I wrestled with the most difficult thing I had ever had to do. For I had to do it. I knew that. The message that God forgives has a prior condition, that we forgive those who have injured us. If you do not forgive men their trespasses, Jesus says, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses. I knew it not only as a commandment of God, but as a daily experience. Since the end of the war, I had a home in Holland for victims of Nazi brutality. Those who were able to forgive their former enemies were able to return to the outside world and rebuild their lives, no matter what the physical scars. And those who nursed their bitterness remained invalids. It was as simple and as horrible as that. And still, I stood there with the coldness clutching my heart. But forgiveness is not an emotion. I knew that too. Forgiveness is the act of the will, and the will can function regardless of the temperature of heart. Help, I prayed silently. I can lift my hand. I can do that much. You supply the feeling. And so woodenly, mechanically, I thrust my hand into the one stretched out to me. And as I did, an incredible thing took place. The current started in my shoulder, raced down my arm, sprang into our joined hands, and then this healing warmth seemed to flood my whole being, bringing tears to my eyes. "I forgive you, brother," I cried with all my heart. For a long moment, we grasped each other's hands, the former guard and the former prisoner. I had never known God's love so intensely as I did then. I try not to cry. Did you catch that part that says forgiveness is an act of the will, and the will can function regardless of the temperature of the heart? See, he asked for her forgiveness, but he didn't remember her. It wasn't like he asked for her forgiveness knowing what he had done. He just assumed he had been there. He had done awful things, but it wasn't directly towards her. But in that moment, even despite the fact that he wasn't asking for her forgiveness in the way of directness towards her, God was calling her to forgive. See, forgiveness isn't required only when asked for by the offender. See, sometimes I think we only think we have to forgive when it's asked for. But see, it's required by God, even when it's not asked for. Why? Because it sets you free. Corey also has another saying. It says, to forgive is to set a prisoner free and discover that prisoner was you. See, Corey talked about how she had a home for victims after the brutality. And those who forgave, they were not asked by their captors or the people that had brutally beaten them or killed their loved ones or ripped their children from their arms. They hadn't been asked. But they were able to rebuild their lives despite their scars. And those who nursed bitterness remained invalids. I love the part where she asked the Lord for help. In my life, I had a particular individual that had placed me in a situation that left me terrified, and basically I froze in the moment. Whenever I heard this guy's name, my body would just shiver. And after the incident, I never looked at him. I wouldn't be in a room with him. I wouldn't be in a house with him. I would avoid him at all costs. And I didn't tell anybody about it because that's a long story for another time. But when I got away from him, I remember feeling such relief, like he was no longer part of my life. But then I had heard that we were going to be in the same place. And I literally went back to that, those feelings of just being scared and shivering, and just terror came back into my mind. And I realized when I had all of those emotions rush back at me that I had allowed that whole situation basically to immobilize parts of my life because I didn't want to deal with them. And I had shut the door on them, but they still were affecting me. And I knew before I saw him, if I was going to see him by chance, that I needed to forgive him in my heart. See, forgiving him didn't mean I was bringing him back into my life or that I had to talk to him. It just meant I needed to let the anger and bitterness go. I think a lot of times people think that forgiveness means you have to place that person back in your life, and that is not true. That does not mean that, especially in certain circumstances, and in my particular circumstance, that's not what it meant. It was for me. It didn't mean when I forgave him that I was excusing his actions. It was just releasing me to move forward in my own life. See, forgiving him didn't mean that he now had the upper hand. It just made me free from the grip of hate and bitterness. And just like Corey, I asked for help. And God met me where my heart was, and I experienced forgiveness, and I was free. I was free from all of that bondage that it had brought by me just holding on to that stuff. I finally felt free. It was just like this huge weight, a weight that I almost didn't even know existed. And yet, once it was gone, it was just such freedom in my life. Recently, I had the privilege of seeing the show Hamilton. It was fantastic. It was amazing. I got to see it in person. It was for my daughter Elizabeth. That was her senior trip thing. We went and saw it. And so I was so excited to hear that it was coming out on Disney Plus. And so, of course, we all watched it. Abby's watched it 5,000 times, but that's besides the point. Let me just say, if history class, if you've seen Hamilton, you'll know what I'm saying. If history class was that exciting and that mesmerizing, I would have learned a lot more in history class. But anyways, so there's a scene in Hamilton where Alexander Hamilton, who it's about, is unfaithful to his wife, Eliza. And after she finds out, there's an entire song dedicated to her feelings of the betrayal. And at the end of the song, she says, "I'm removing myself from the script of Hamilton's life. Like, I'm done. I'm removing myself. I'm finished. It's over." And of course, this point, I'm crying. My kids are looking over to see if I'm crying, because it's just, you can just feel the devastation and the hurt and that she is expressing through this song. And then kind of through the death of their son, they begin to repair their relationship. And then Hamilton dies. I'm not spoiling anything, people. This is history, okay? Some of you are like, wait a second, I haven't seen it yet. Well, it's history. So, you know, we get to the end of the play and, you know, it's like the end of it. And basically the last song is Eliza saying she wrote herself back into the script. And the reason why she was able to do that is because of one word. And it's like there's just dramatic pause. Eliza's standing there. The whole cast is around here. And she's like, "I could do this because..." And it pauses. And she says, for one word, forgiveness. Because of forgiveness, she is able to take center stage again. She's able to rewrite herself into the script of her husband's life. And because of forgiveness, she's able to go through all of her husband's writings and compile the legacy of Alexander Hamilton and George Washington. Like, she basically uncovered all the things that we would never have known had she not done that. And because of forgiveness, she says, the one thing that I'm the most proud of is that she opened up an orphanage to help kids to have a shot at life, and has helped thousands of children yearly. And actually, after 214 years, it is still going. So forgiveness, it didn't change her past. It doesn't change our past, but it will change our future. See, had she stayed in this place of not forgiving her husband, she never would have gone into an amazing future. She would have just stayed in the past, because that's what happened to her. But because of that one word, being able to forgive, it meant that a whole future opened up before her. See, forgiveness is a journey. So I think sometimes we think, well, I forgave, I tried it, you know, but then it came rushing back, or then I had to deal with it again. And well, you're human. Welcome to being human. Because actually, something that I found very interesting was at that whole excerpt that I read to you about Corrie Ten Boom was from a book that she wrote, and it's called I'm Still Learning to Forgive. It's a process. It's not a one and done thing. It's a process. Maybe it is a one and done thing for you, but for me, it was a process. And there's still times I have to remind myself, hey, I forgave that. I moved on. Sometimes I have to tell myself that, hey, you're over that. That's done. Move on. Go into the future. Listen, I know that this is not a fun podcast. You probably cried. I cried. But I want you to know, if you struggle in this area, if you have had something happen to you in some way, shape, or form, and the very idea of even forgiving somebody is just beyond your thought process or what you're able to wrap your brain around or your heart around or your thoughts around, I want you to know I'm here. I know like some of you don't really know me, but I'm here to listen or to cry with you or to pray with you. You know, send me a message on our Instagram, or if you know me, come talk to me, because I've been in a place where it was hard to forgive other situations that I've gone through. It's been difficult, but I've also had people that I could just, sometimes we just, if you're a woman, sometimes we just need to talk our feelings out, and we come to it on our own, but sometimes we just need to, even talking about it with somebody really can lose a lot of its hold on you. Like, I know when I shared with my husband that situation that I referenced, like, I just expressing to him what I went through and for him to know what happened, it just released a lot of stuff for me. And I really, like, we went through that process of forgiving together. Like, he really helped me because he was by my side. He was there. And when I saw the person, I didn't talk to them. I didn't anything. But he was there. He knew what was going on. And he was like, are you okay? And I was like, yes, I'm okay. Because I went through the process. And so if you need that, or you just want to say, hey, Erin, you may not know me, but like I want to move into the future. I don't want to be held to the past. Or maybe you've thought that by forgiving somebody, it meant that what they did was okay. And that's not what it's about. It's about you. It's about releasing you so that you no longer have to walk in all of that pain and just know that you can have freedom. It's for you. The freedom is for you. And I believe that God will help you forgive. You don't have to do it by yourself. If you're a private person, you're like, I would never tell you. That's fine. I get it. I know some people, but I do want you to know if there's someone you trust that you can talk to about it, you will find that it really gives you a lot of freedom right from the start. Maybe you still need to go through the process, but it will release a lot of that. And, or go to the Lord and maybe just express, maybe you've never even expressed to him. Maybe you're angry about it or whatever. God can handle your anger. Newsflash, he already knows that you're angry. So get it out. He's more than capable of handling what you have to say or your feelings, because he's already aware. But he will help you so that you can walk in that freedom in the future that he has for you. And remember, regardless of the temperature of your heart, maybe you're like, I can totally relate to Corrie Ten Boom, and I can totally relate to the fact that my heart is ice cold towards that person or towards that situation. The will can function. See, Corrie willed her arm. She even expressed, my heart was cold. It was frozen. But she willed her arm. And when she willed her arm, she asked for help, and God did the rest. And I believe you, your situation, God will do the rest for you. It's not, he didn't just do it for her and she's the only person he's going to do it for. No, I believe this. She told her story so that you would have hope, that you would have hope that, okay, my temperature of my heart is pretty stone cold, frozen, but God is bigger than the temperature of your heart. But you have to call on him and you have to be willing to allow him to help you do the rest. And it's for your sake. It's not for the other person. That guy never knows that I forgave him. He'll never know. The person may never, ever, ever know. So if they'll never know, then you're not doing it for them. You're doing it for yourself so that you can walk in freedom. So that you can walk into a future and do something amazing and use your story. I have an amazing friend named Jan, and I will probably have her on a podcast in the future. She just doesn't know it to share her story because it's amazing what God can do. And it is amazing to me the amount of women that she has helped walk through horrific things and find freedom in Christ. So, I'm here for you. If you need to reach out, DM me or someone that you know, or just go before God. I love you. And we're just going to keep going on this journey, the process of forgiving others. Because guess what? It's probably not the last time that you're going to have to forgive somebody. That seems to be something we have to deal with in our lives. So let's get good at it so that we are not robbed of anything that's in our future.